Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of the A-List podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag, indeed.com, and Rocket Money. Welcome into the A-List podcast. I'm Kwani Lunish, joined with Gary Washburn. Sherrod is too busy for us today, but it's okay. We'll get through it. I don't know how we'll manage, but I think we will. How are you, Gary?
I'm good. Good. Kwani, how are you?
I'm doing well.
It's a little cold out there, but winter's here. And it's arrived.
Fortunately.
Apparently Saturday is going to be a low of -2. So get ready, folks.
Yeah, if you're in New England, you're going to need to bundle
16,
up.
High is 16, low of -2.
So, why do we live here?
I don't know. I wonder. But yeah, everything is good. Everything is good on my side.
All right, let's get into these Celtics, because of course, that's what people are here to talk about. So they did fall to the Knicks, and then I remember someone on Twitter mentioned how if they could beat the Lakers, then all would be forgiven. Before that, they lost the Heat and the Magic before then. So the Lakers game, let's just be right into it. What were your thoughts on how they secured that win?
Wow. I mean, obviously the officiating is the main story coming up from that game. And I think it is the main story. It was not a good night for the officials on either side. There was a lot of controversial calls, especially obviously the one against LeBron or Jason Tatum did hit him on the forearm. It was a legit foul.
Patrick
should have been two free throws. Yeah, it was a lot. But yeah, and then LeBron went on his tantrum. I mean,
dude, give him an Oscar though. Can we?
I was impressed. I was impressed. It was like all the faces of grief from, anger, depression,
acceptance eventually.
Acceptance, when he just kind of got on his knees, he accepted the fate. it was brilliant. I mean, that's one of LeBron's. I mean, obviously LeBron has had a lot of memes. Obviously the one from the game one of the finals in 2018 when J.R. Smith.
That's still number one.
Forgot to score. He was like, bro, like, there's the basket. Where the hell are you at? that's probably the most famous one, but there's a lot of memes that come out of this one. So, kudos to LeBron for being a meme master.
A meme king.
I give him props. I mean, he got fouled. It was interesting after the game, the kind of like, I don't get the calls I deserve. And, is there a legit case? Like, I looked it up. He's 20th in the league in free throw attempts. Hmm. So, and, I want to say fifth or sixth in the league in scoring. So, it doesn't match. And obviously he's getting the Shaq treatment. He's big and strong. So people don't, but now on that one, he had a legitimate gripe.
Yeah.
But it was not a well-officiated game. I thought the flagrant on Malcolm Brogdon was kind of, not a good call. Even though, because kind of Russ kind of, it was after the collision that Russ kind of crashed into like a photographer, and that made it even worse. But, if you're the Celtics, you just kind of keep it moving. You won the game. I thought that they did some good things. The Lakers are a good defensive team. They're not a good offensive team in terms of shooting, but Darvin Ham, when they want. And one thing that stood out, Kwani, was even LeBron said, like, it was one of our better games of the year. And, you could use it as a cliche or an excuse or however you want and think it's BS, but like teams are playing their best. That is not the first opposing player or coach to say that, like we played one of our better. Now, is that just the Celtics not playing good and it's the other team, but they're getting other teams' best shots. I'll say that. And so that was one of those things where the Lakers thought they played one of the better games. Pat Bev with the threes, and we can get on the camera thing later. But Pat Bev with the threes, you know, I mean, Dennis Schroeder was, had, it was a kind of his comeback game, and he wanted to show the Celtics they made a mistake by just kind of dumping them, even though they, you know, the team kind of took off after he left, all that stuff. But I think if you're the Celtics, you don't worry about the officiating. You worry about how you can get better, and you worry about getting another W because teams in the East are starting to catch up. Philadelphia, although they lost last night to Orlando, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, who they got on Wednesday. So you take the win and you keep it moving and you get better. So I thought it was a good win for them. It wasn't necessarily fair, but life ain't fair.
We clown LeBron and his Oscar-worthy performance. But I think the good part about this, it shows that despite the season that the Lakers have been having, like you mentioned, the Celtics are a team to be reckoned with at this point. And I think the LA realized it. They wanted to play their best basketball. And that just goes to show the passion for the game when you look at it at its core. That's really what it came down to, despite, again, the memes that we got out of it. So I just love that they were able to play up to the Celtics as an opponent, even though I think the odds were, a lot of people thought that the Lakers would have taken this one away. And they could have quite easily taken that one.
Yeah, they played well. I mean, the Lakers... our team, I mean, I was watching the last night's game when they played the Nets, and they didn't have LeBron and AD, and they played well for stretches, and they just kind of fell apart toward the end, but they actually led by 8 points in the third quarter without their two main guys. So they have stretches. I just thought they played and the Celtics offensively were not very good. They were a little bit just choppy at times on the offensive side of the ball, and then the Lakers hit a lot of threes. LeBron comes a couple of key threes. Pat Bev, AD hit a three, I believe. So I just thought if you look at the Lakers roster, Kwani, like, they've got talent. I mean,
they do.
That's the thing. It's not like it's like they're not a good team. They're below 500. But if you look at, okay, LeBron, obviously, top two player of all time, and you'd argue he's top all time. AD, top 75 guy, you know, Russell Westbrook, extremely flawed now, but still a dude who, when he gets going and he gets to the rim, very dangerous player. Dennis Schroeder, Patrick Beverly, and then you got guys like Lonnie Walker the fourth, then Rui Hachimura. Like, you're like, okay, there's no guy on that team you're like, oh, that dude's terrible. Like, why is he out there? Like I looked at their roster and I'm like, they should have more wins. Like,
and yet they're 13th in the West. That's the thing. That's
I don't get that.
If the season ended today, they were not in the playoffs.
Get that, because they have, I'm not talking about they're a great team, but they have enough talent. Minnesota. They have much talent as Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at their roster and something don't make sense, because I said, Schroeder's a good player. Thomas Bryant, you know, a decent player. In his own right. Like, they got guys, you're like, okay, where's the real super drop-off? You know, Austin Reeves is hurt. He's a pretty good player. You know, like, you're looking, and so I just think they played one of their better games. They came to play, and you knew Kwani was a sold-out house, Saturday night, ESPN, ABC good game. One. So, you know, it was, they knew they were in the spotlight. The Lakers were not going to play badly. We'll see what happens in a couple of hours when they play the Knicks on TNT with LeBron. Is, you know, has, I think he hasn't played in MSG since 2020, I want to say, something like that. So I think I heard that. I mean, he hasn't played MSG in a minute. Him approaching the scoring record, he's going to try to drop 50 on him.
Garden.
And then, obviously, his first game since the whole, like, the officials are against me. So let's see how many free throws he gets. But I can't figure the Lakers out. Like I said, I think Darvin Ham's a good coach. I think they're in good hands. You know, I'm from Los Angeles. I grew up 5 minutes from the Forum. So I have a lot of friends who are Laker fans. I think the team is in good hands in the future in terms of the coaching now. But I don't get why they don't do more with the talent they have. Because I looked at it, like, Lonnie Walker would be very good addition for the Celtics. Like, that's a guy, athletic, can defend, get to the basket. Like, he's not a bad player, you know. He would be a good player. You look at could these guys play in the Celtics? And besides, you know, most of them could and get minutes. Even Westbrook, Westbrook's doing too much. I mean, he was not good offensively the other night, but just his assists, his ability to push the ball up for it. So, you know, Celtic fans, it could be worse. You could be in Los Angeles, and you could be a Laker fan and thinking that this is our year, and then you look and it's like, not quite.
What are we doing? Yeah. Yes. I just looked up your point. 2020 was the last time that LeBron reportedly played at Madison Square Garden. Yeah. That should be pretty interesting. I do want to talk about scoring in that game. You mentioned LeBron had 41-9, close to a double-double. But on the Celtics side, Tatum wasn't that guy. It was Jaylen Brown, 37-9, I believe. So what do you think made him stand out in this game?
I thought he was just aggressive. He got to the basket. He got to his spots. I think the key for Jaylen is scoring where he's comfortable. Not doing too much, right? And I, you know, 37 points, 12 for 23. He was not good from the 3-point line, 2 for 9, but he got to the rim and he got his spots. He got to the free throw line 11 times, 2-20. That's good. Jaylen's not a heavy volume free throw guy. And obviously he's got to hit those free throws, hence the Knicks game. But, you know, he got to the free throw line 11 times and he made 9. And he made obviously the key free throw to tie the game late in overtime before the LeBron, I got foul play. But I just thought the Lakers didn't have anybody who could really match up and guard him, you know. And Tatum was, you know, took a lot of shots, 8 for 25, 3 for 10, got to the free throw line, 11 boards, 6 turnovers. Not a good Tatum night, obviously, but he was still a plus three and still had 30 points, but took 25 shots. Well, I thought Jaylen was the reason that they won. And then Brogdon, 26 points off the bench, is exactly what you wanted from Malcolm Brogdon. Plus 11, you know, 6 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. You know, he played 39 minutes. He only had 2 turnovers. Turnovers has kind of been his bugaboo at times, but he stayed away from that. So if I thought it was a complete performance by the two guy, Brown and Brogdon, were the reasons that they won. You know, I thought other guys helped out, did their thing. Grant Williams, 9 boards, Derek White, 14 points. But I thought, you know, Brogdon, a good night for him, 39 big minutes, you know, because as Mazzulla said, he decided to match up with the Lakers and kind of go with, you know, a small lineup against that, their lineup. And it eventually worked, and kind of, you know, and went less with the bench. You know, 6 minutes for Pritchard, 5 for Hauser, you know, but I think that it was a complete solid offensive performance by them. I'm sorry, it struggled at times, but 13 for 40 from three. But I thought those two guys, Brown and Brogdon, carried them the victory. And Brown, it was a good bounce back. Obviously, we talked about, you know, we didn't talk about it, but we saw it next game and, you know, a chance to seal a game that they probably should have lost early, but they came back and rallied, and then they should have won. And they had so many chances to build on a lead, and then all of a sudden the Knicks hit some big shots, and Jaylen had a chance and you know, learn from the experience. And he went 9 for 11 from the line. You're not asking Jaylen to be 95% from the line. You're asking him to be 80, right? You're asking him to get to that 80 threshold because he's going to get fouled a lot. You don't need him at 71 because that's kind of shaky, you know, one of those, you know, because occasionally he's going to miss one. But I thought it was a good comeback from Jaylen. I thought Tatum was okay. I think they defended him well. I mean, Tatum was not great at all or whatever, but I thought Brown carried him the victory.
Hey, everyone. This is Kwani Lunis from the A-List Podcast. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online, with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. Bet Online is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to our website today, or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the games start. All right, we'll get into Tatum a little bit more in just a second. But before we do that, I want to talk about our good partner, our good teammate, Indeed. No one has a business like yours with all its strengths and challenges. to succeed, you're going to need a hiring partner that adapts to your needs. You need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for the candidate with the right skills for the job that you have open, Indeed is a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. With their instant match tool, which is pretty cool, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Indeed makes it so easy to hire. It takes about 10 minutes or less for most small business employers to post a job, according to Indeed's recent data. When you sponsor a job, Indeed on Indeed, the post is actually 3 times more likely to get a hire. That's specifically in the United States, but that's already good odds if you're looking to get the best person for the job immediately. Even better, Indeed is the only job site where you pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. So get rid of all the clutter. You're solely focusing on people that are qualified for your job. If that sounds like the most ideal way for you to hire, you can start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/A-list. Offer good for a limited time. Once again, you can claim that $75 credit. That's a good deal. Now at indeed.com/A-list, indeed.com/A-list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So we skipped completely over the Knicks game because we wanted to start with some positivity. But I do want to see what your perspective was on Tatum's performance, not only in the Lakers game where he didn't necessarily shine as much as he could have, but in that Knicks game as well.
Yeah, I thought he struggled against the Knicks. So things are obviously in a little slump, especially 3-point slump. He's just got to break out of it. They're going to start defending him. Obviously, he's a very potent scorer, one of the top scorers in the league, and he's going to get defended differently. So I'm looking at his game log, 20, he was good against the Knicks. I thought, okay, 12 for 26, 35 points, and 9 for 27 in that win against the Warriors, 9 for 18, 9 for 19. He's 33.3% from three in January. You'd like to see him, 34.1 and in December, 33.3. So his 3-point shot is not where you'd like it to be, but he's getting to the free throw line, double digit free throws in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games this month. And you like to see him score a little bit more efficiently at the rim. But I thought, I thought he was okay against the Knicks, the step back that could have won it, rimmed out. I thought that his, he tried to maybe do a little too much one-on-one in overtime where they needed one bucket. That was a frustrating thing for a Celtic fan. Like, they were up 115, 110. I think they had a couple of chances to make it 7, and then they didn't. And then here comes Julius Randle with like a 3. And then all of a sudden it was all bets were off. It was a 2-point game. And so for me, I thought he was solid against the Knicks. I said he was only very good. He was okay. He was solid. 12 for 26, 35 points. I would see 14 boards, 4 assists. He warmed up a lot in the second half. But I think he's got to – you'd like to see him be better at the 3-point line. That's what I think his next step is, because he's struggling. If you look at some of the games recently, 2 for 10 against Brooklyn from 3, 4 for 14 at Charlotte, 4 for 13 against the Warriors. 2 for 7 against the Knicks, 3 for 10 against the Lakers. So he's having some subpar games, 34.1. You want to see Jason Tatum at near 40% from three. That makes him a very dangerous player, even more dangerous than he already is. If he can shoot near 40, right, that's what you want. You don't want him languishing in the 33-34%. Okay, 3-point shooter, right? 34 is okay. That's not great, but that's not exceptional at all. You want to see Jason hit those threes. And I think what he tries to do is get himself going early from three, and he takes a lot of early threes. You like to see him get himself going. And when he's on from three, he's unstoppable. But I think also he's got to attack the rim, get to the free throw line. So I think he's in a little mini slump, just in my opinion, in terms of his efficiency. He's one game from breaking out of it. He's always that next game from breaking out of it. And I'd like to see And I don't know if it's anything mechanical, if it's, you know, obviously he's got the issues with his wrist and his ring finger, whether with and some of the, you know, hand issues in terms of his shot. Does that have anything to do with it? But I'd like to see him a little bit more efficient from the 3-point line. I think if that, it, that opens up everything for the Celtics.
I mean, obviously you don't know the actual answer to this, but what do you think is a possible solution to a slump like the one he's in right now?
He just got to shoot his way out of it, get to the free throw line, see the ball go down early, and also take advantage of some matchups. Pass the ball when you're doubled. I thought that Miami game, obviously, when he tried to do a little too much, and I think there's a little too much at times with Tatum, that he's doing a little too much. I think some of the Knicks, part of the Knicks game, he was doing a little too much. Don't take on 3 defenders. Make it easy on yourself. Pass the ball. Get that.
You got teammates. You got coworkers.
Yeah, get those assist numbers up. Pass to Derek in the corner. Mm-hmm. Malcolm on the wing. Lob it to Rob. You know, like, make it easy on yourself. That will open up things down the road. You know, if it's Jalen's night, hey, divert to Jalen.
Yeah,
you know, make him stop Jalen.
Take a break.
Yeah, because Jalen will get at those times where it's like, oh, no, give me the ball. I got this. And I think Tatum is the right. I don't think he's like, oh, well, I need to shoot too. I think he likes to shoot. I think he likes to score. But I think he understands when it's Jalen's night. And I think all those things will make him more, the game open up for him. I don't think he's pressing. I just think the 3-point shot isn't what I'd like to. I think he wants to be that kind of a, you know, like a premium 3-point shooter, maybe not a Steph. But a guy who's like, uh-oh, you can't leave him alone. And I look at his total season 3-point numbers, and he's at 35% this year. Last year, 35.3. 2 years ago, 38.6. 3 years ago, 40.3. And obviously, remember that great rookie year, he was 43.4. So Tatum is capable, and he's taking a career high 9.3 3-pointers a game. Right? He's 87% from the line, so that's fine. He's shooting 46.5% from the field, so he's better at two than probably throughout any point of his career. He's probably better from the two, because that's the second best of his career so far, percentage-wise, 46.5 this year. Obviously, career high, 31.1 points, career best season. So he's doing well. 35% from the three is not a bad number, but you won't like to see it in the last 30 games. If he could try to push it up to 37, 38 and get that. If not, 38.6 a couple of years ago, that was good. 40.3. So he's capable. So we'll see what happens in the second half, whether he can create better open looks.
You made a really good point. I think all of the skills that he learned during the slump as well are helping carve out his leadership skills too, because you do have to be able to trust your teammates. I know earlier in the season, even last year, when Marcus had to call everyone out, it was one of those situations where they didn't know who to give the ball, but now they're realizing that with Malcolm on the coming strong off the bench, there is a little more depth than they've had in the past. And I think that makes for a roster where you can alleviate Tatum on nights like that, where he doesn't feel as though they can't win without him, which in an ideal world should never be the case, but
you need him, but you don't want him to have to carry you every night. And I said, and there are going to be nights where he does carry you, and you know, he is just brilliant. And there's going to be nights where he needs his teammates. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the time he's going to need his teammates. These teams are going to play in different, they're going to trap him, get the ball out of his hands. Mm-hmm. They're going to make either Jalen or someone else, because they don't want to say, well, we let Tatum score 51 against us. I just think, I said, the only thing I think he needs to do, I said, is get the 3-point down and make it better for his teammates. But I think his assists are fine. He's rebounding better, the best he ever has in his career. So I think he's had a complete season.
So I do want to talk about, we talked about the main characters, Jason, Jalen. I want to hear your perspective now on the coaching of the last two games. How have you seen Mazzulla grow, if at all? And also a quick shout out to him, because he is now going to be the coach of, him and his staff are going to be coaching Team Giannis in the NBA All-Star. So he's joining Tatum and maybe Brown in the game. Wait, so is Brown not in? I'm kind of confused about the All-Star voting.
No, they've got to vote. The coaches vote the reserves.
Oh, okay, okay. So we're still
waiting. It hasn't been announced. I think that's going to be next Thursday. I want to say, I think next Thursday is when don't put a gun to me.
Don't quote him, but
I think it's next Thursday.
Okay.
Is where the reserves are all announced.
Okay.
And the head coaches vote for the reserves. I don't think you can vote for your own player. So obviously Missoula can't, you know, give him a nudge in there. But yeah, the rest of the reserves are voted by the coach.
February 2nd. 7 p.m.
So that's Tuesday. I'm sorry, it's Thursday. My fault.
Not Thursday. You're right. You said Thursday, though.
No, I said next Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah. You say which Thursday?
Yeah, don't hold me to February 9th. February 2nd.
So they're going to find you on Twitter.
The pregame TNT, they will announce the reserves.
Okay, that makes sense because I know this year they're doing a live draft process during the All-Star game.
It's a lot. The whole
they're so extra.
It's like, I just think they need to go back to East to West, but if the young folks like the whole drafting and, captains
LeBron
and all that.
LeBron is definitely picking Tatum first. Mark my words, go to Bet Online. I'm pretty sure LeBron's going to pick Tatum first.
You think so?
I could see that. Oh, no, sorry. He doesn't need to draft Tatum. No, he actually does draft his starters, right?
He does. He drafts.
Yeah, I think he's going to take Tatum first. I'm
going to draft the starters first. They have to draft the starters first, but it will be, you know, there's obviously for your old schoolers, there's no Eastern or Western Conference. I don't know who is going to coach. I think Mike Malone from Denver's got the edge to coach team
LeBron.
But yeah.
Is that voted upon by the players?
The coach is the number of the wins. You got to have a certain number every league of conference. And you can't. The reason Missoula got you, and you can't coach it 2 years in a row.
Okay, that explains it. Okay.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
I never dove into the All-Star rule book clearly.
Yeah. So you can't coach 2 years in a row. So, and obviously the Celtics by the certain day, I think it was February, I think it was honestly February 2nd or something, by that day, Philly wasn't going to be able to catch them with their loss
at all.
To Orlando. So I think Mike Malone has pretty much got it clinched. So we're going to have a Mike Malone Missoula matchup.
I know NBA legends are rolling in their grave, like you said about it not being East versus West anymore, and now players are drafting their opponents. Like, why is a Laker potentially drafting a Celtic?
Yeah, it's a little different. I think it would be fine for them to go back to East West. I think the competition level kind of declined, and the league has been looking for ways to get, because people
spice it up.
Yeah, it became more of a, you know, like they used the what's it called, the ending, the fourth quarter, and I'm sure the readers will know, the ending where you put a score on it and you just get to that score as opposed to timed quarter. The Elam ending is now being used. And I think they're just trying to get the game more competitive. I think back in the 80s and the 90s, it was a competitive game. They did play, you know, they went at each other. They did the whole showcase and showboating. But then when they got to the second half, they were running half court offense and setting picks and all that. This, and then as the game, I think the years wore on, it got more like, okay, third quarter, fourth quarter, then the fourth quarter, then all of a sudden they got serious the last 6 minutes, then they got serious the last 3 minutes, then suddenly one of them, couple of games, they never got serious, and people were like, this is,
why am I watching,
you know, 171, 150, whoop-de-doo, so bad, right? So I think they wanted a little bit more competition. You know, a little bit more of these guys going at each other a little bit, as opposed to just, you know, throwing alley-oop. Oh, please dunk on me.
We're never getting any defense, though. That's
Please dunk on me. You know, that's great. Hey.
Right under the
right. Let's stop that. So.
Okay, back to my original question. I just got on a tangent. Who from the Knicks loss and the win against the Lakers?
I think some of his lineups are always unusual. I think he's doing the best he can. Obviously, no Marcus, no Robert Williams against the Lakers. He tweaked his ankle against the Knicks. you know, you can, I think he's fine. I don't have a real problem. You know, people talk a lot about the timeouts, and especially in Miami, and not calling one. I think he's better at that. I don't know if he was bad, but I think he's starting to call at times more conventional timeouts, because I think he realizes, hey, I got to stop the tide here. Mm-hmm. I can't let these guys play through certain things. So I think he's fine in that situation. I think the team, I don't have a real issue at all. I think he's done a good job this year. I think he's done a good job recently. And there's some limitations, you know, with some of the guys. I think that when we can pivot to this, like, I think they're going to start, I think they're going to have to look for some more help. And as Wood Grubbs said on the Celtics pregame show, like, this is the year, let's go for it. So I think if you're the Celtics, like, you need some reinforcements. I think there's two things here. There's two guys I'm looking at. Like, I think the Kornet minutes are getting a little too much. I think Kornet has worked hard. He's a great story. He's playing hard, but I think he's very uncomfortable scoring at the rim, like playing that Robert role where it's like, hey, Luke, dunk on this guy, you know, ram it down his throat. And he's not a real aggressive, like, boom, you know, even though he's a 7-footer, he'd rather pass it out, right? Or he'd rather pause, look, and then try a little jump hook. Like, they need more of a dog if you're going to play a role.
Just saying it.
Yeah, just a dude who's going to go in there and just, like, you know, dunk a dude's face into the basket, like, just really take advantage of the fact that he's going to be left alone because of all the other weapons. And I think Luke has tried, you know, he's gotten better. I think he's had a solid year. I think he's been a surprise. But I also saw there's a lot of Luke against the Lakers and Knicks. Obviously, the Lakers without Robert Williams, and opportunities for him to score at the rim that he passed up. And they need a more aggressive bid. I also think you got to figure out whether Sam Hauser is a guy who can help you down the stretch. I think Sam has not had a good 2 months. I think he got off to a great start that first 5-6 weeks of the season through November. He was great. But if I look at his numbers, Kwani, because we always like to look at the numbers.
The numbers. Numbers never.
The numbers for Sam Hauser.
I don't know if that's a copyright. Numbers never lie. That old show.
Yeah, but let's look at the numbers here. If I can find it, can you see here? But I know he has struggled mightily from the 3-point line. And I want to say, hold on here. Let me get
Sam. I'm trying to get the facts correct.
Yes. Real quick here. Let me see.
How did you have a Luke Kornet story for later?
Okay. Oh, wow.
It's not bad. It's just
good. Funny. Okay. So Hauser from the 3-point line in November. Mm-hmm. Okay. October for a little 6-game stretch, he was 55.6. Okay. You're not going to expect to keep that up. November, he was 46.2%. Okay.
That makes sense.
Very good. Mm-hmm. December, 28.3%, January, 31.4%.
Oh, wow. So, that's a roller coaster.
Yeah, he is struggling in the last 27 games, about 30% from three. And that's just, if you got to have him, if he's going to be on the floor, you got to have him. He's trying to do little things, but you got to have him hitting shots. And the question is, can he help you down the road and into the playoffs, or do you need another shooter to maybe take his place or take his minutes? You know, can you rely on Sam Hauser? I'm not so sure right now, because he's gotten open looks. Most of the looks he gets are open, and they're trying to get him going. And it's been, oh, miss. You know, like, and I said, like, I mean, Miami game, they really needed him. He didn't score in 26 minutes. He was 0-for-5 from three. You know, he didn't take a three. He only played 13 minutes in the combined 2 games against the Lakers and the Knicks. He hit 2 threes against the Knicks. Did not take a shot against the Lakers. But if you look at some of his numbers, you know, he really is tailed off. Like, he had three threes against Orlando, but in the previous probably 10-12 games, he did not hit more than – he had 2 3-pointers once, and that was that Oklahoma City debacle. You know, 0-for-1, 0-for-2, 0-for-1, 0-for-2, 1-for-1, 1-for-2, 1-for-3, 2-for-6, like 1-for-4, 1-for-4. Like, he needs to get going. Mm-hmm. And the question – and his minutes have decreased. He played 11.8 minutes in January. He played 19 minutes in November. Oh, so yeah. his minutes are suffering. Mm-hmm. They're playing more Peyton Pritchard. So I think the Celtics need to decide.
Yeah.
Is this guy, do we need to get another shooter? Mm-hmm. A wing who can shoot? Or is it just a slump? Or is this who he is at this point? Is it... Mm-hmm. Is it kind of not ready for the moment? Is it a little inexperienced?
Yeah.
Like, what is it that is, what's going on here? So for me, I think they've got to decide on backup center and with Luke. And, you know, because I think we kind of realize now Blake's not going to be that guy, right? Like, they're going to save Blake for certain stretches when they need him. But I think that they kind of understood early in the season that we can't run Blake out there like, you know, like 15-18 minutes a game. Like, I don't think his body can handle that anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see if Blake, you know, plays, if this is his last season or how that goes with Blake's career, because he's has had a great career, but kind of real derailed a little bit by injuries. But I think they've realized, okay, Blake isn't that third center. Vonleh is gone. So what do you do for that position, and what do you do for a wing position with Hauser? Because you got to have Hauser in the game. If he is in the game, you got to have him hit shots. If not, like I think as Joe is showing, he's not going to play much. He didn't play much against the Lakers. You know, Joe stuck. That's the one thing about Joe. The only thing you can say is he going to wear these guys out too with heavy minutes? Like, you know, you got to spread the wealth. You can't run Jason 45 minutes, 44 minutes. Jalen 41 minutes. Like, you've got to start spreading the wealth a little bit, but you also want to win games. If guys are not doing a job out there, what do you do?
So while the Celtics are figuring that out, I want our viewers and listeners to think about this. How much money do you think you're wasting on subscriptions? Sherrod's talked about Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, and I use it as well. It's basically an app that helps you figure out what you're spending your money on, whether it be subscriptions that you haven't used, or just maybe you spend too much money on food like I do, and you need to figure out how to budget properly. January is done. It's out of the picture, but you can still refresh and restart. 80% of people say they have subscriptions that they forgot about. And maybe for you, that could be Amazon Prime, Hulu, whatever the case may be. Whether or not you're struggling and just need to figure out what, you know, what you're doing financially, Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is your solution. Do you know that how much your subscription actually costs? Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscription when the actual total is closer to $200. Again, that should be all of the reason that you need to go to Rocket Money. The app shows you all the subscriptions in one place, and they cancel whatever things that you say you don't want to be using anymore. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't even know you were paying for, and you can find out that you might have been double charged for a subscription as well. Overall, this is clearly the best app when it comes to budgeting properly, saving money. You can restart your new year in February and really get your money back on track. So get rid of those useless subscriptions with Rocket Money right now. Go to rocketmoney.com/A-list. Seriously, clearly it can save you hundreds of dollars per year. That's rocketmoney.com/A-list. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/A-list. So before we close out, let's quickly look to this Nets matchup that the Celtics are facing this week. What are you looking for? Durant's out in that game. Simmons is out, but the Nets have been looking pretty good. So what is your quick assumption as to what will go down?
Yeah, I think it's going to still be a tough game. Kyrie's going to want to make a point. He's been tremendous.
You don't let Lucky know.
Yeah, you got to be for Lucky. It's a tremendous. He's been tremendous. Although they've been 4-6, And now no TJ Warren or obviously Durant or Simmons. So shorthanded, but
their injury list is long.
Yeah. Nick Claxton's played well. The Nets are good. They got talent. You know, Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, Seth Curry, Watanabe, the Japanese kind of sensation. The guys played really well this year for them, though. So they got talent. So I think a very tough game. But it's something they should win. Obviously, without Simmons, they have the talent to win. They rolled them both times in Brooklyn. So I think, you know, coming off a couple of days rest, I think they should be ready. The Phoenix game, I think Devin Booker could be back. Obviously, he wouldn't probably play long minutes or be back because he hasn't made an appearance yet, but it's a possibility. But another championship team in terms of the medal going to the finals, DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul's back, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson didn't play that first meeting. The Celtics really kicked their butts in Phoenix, so they're going to have something to say. So if you're the Celtics, like two tricky games, you can't take anybody for granted in this league. We just saw Orlando beat Philadelphia, Detroit won at Brooklyn last week. Like some of these teams that you think, oh, they're injured, oh, we got this. Like they'll come in and buy the Celtics and learn that the hard way. So they got to be prepared. Two tough games, no gimmies. And I said Phoenix coming in going to play hard, on an East Coast trip for them. So I think two very tough games. And then I think you got a Detroit coming up after that. Then I think a Charlotte.
You couldn't sleep on that either.
You can't sleep. Like you want to make I know the All-Star break is coming up. I know the guys are getting that itis and want to literally they want to take a break. They want to go to Maui or you know, whatever they do, Cancun for 4 or 5 days. Cabo, unwind.
Take me somewhere warm.
Get somewhere. But if I'm the Celtics, finish this part out, feel good about yourself in the All-Star break, but get to the end. So two difficult games, I don't think you take any of these teams lightly.
I'm with you on that one. My story about Lou Cornette it's not that big of a story, but it's funny. So on Friday, the Celtics had me judge media. I was a media judge for their Fit to Win event. I'm just making them Fit to Win. It's their partnership on just helping kids learn how to properly nourish themselves. So each kid, it was about 40 kids there. They each were grouped up on a team and they had to make the best tasting smoothie. And I got to judge that. Thankfully, these kids didn't poison me because I was definitely concerned. But Lou Cornette was one of the judges. Leon Poe was one of the judges as well. The team leaders, group leaders. And then they had three other Celtics employees that were coaches as well. So they coached their teams. You got Leon Poe trying to blackmail me, talking about, just make sure that this smoothie wins. Lou Cornette was so salty. And I feel bad because his smoothie, the presentation of his team's smoothie, mind you, they had six through 9-year-olds trying to get them all together to focus on making this smoothie. The kids are running around, not paying attention. They put a piece of spinach in it to add a little garnish, which I thought was a really cute touch because no one else did that. But the team that was called the Celtics, they actually ended up winning. They got to pick their team names as well. So sorry to Lou Cornette. I interviewed him afterwards just to get some sound. And he was like, we thought the judges would appreciate the garnish, but clearly that wasn't enough for them. So he threw a little shade in there. I'm sorry to the current and former Celtics that disappointed this past week.
That's too bad.
It was so funny. They really try. It's funny to see athletes out of basketball, though, because you realize that competition is everywhere. It was just a smooth.
Yeah,
they were like, "Nah, I'm trying to win."
Yeah,
I know Leon is never going to talk to me again. He would definitely give me eye rolls and all that. He was like, "Better watch your back."
My Cal guy, UC Berkeley guy, Leon. Yep. Come on, don't be my man like that.
I'm sorry. Better smoothie won. But do you have anything coming up this week?
No, same
stuff.
Celtics is keeping me busy. I will be in Detroit for that game on Monday. So looking forward to that. Just a lot of action. And I'll give you guys, obviously now it's could be a whole contingent going to the All-Star game with Jason, maybe Jalen, and now Mazzulla and the whole coaching staff. So the whole crew's going on, going to Utah. So I'll be there for that too. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll give you guys the best coverage.
Make sure you follow Gary Washburn, Boston Globe. Make sure you're reading, subscribing, doing all the things to support him. Of course, make sure you're supporting Sherrod as well. For A. Sherrod, couldn't be with us today. Gary Washburn, I'm Kwani Lunis. This is the A-List Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.